People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, my co-host and friend Larry.
Good morning.
It's good to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you too.
You look great today. You have a
feel good.
A spark in your eye today somehow.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say, we were supposed to have a very special guest today. We have a special guest. We were supposed to have a different guest.
Right.
Who we were talking about last week, a 13-year-old girl who was going to come in and talk about this fundraiser event she's been behind now for a couple of years and has one coming up. But we're going to maybe have her in next week or the following week for sure.
It's her birthday, right? Is it her birthday today too?
Her birthday is today. That's right. Yeah. And she's feeling under the weather. Bummer. Very good. That's very good that you remembered that.
It's a drag.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we couldn't have her in, but we were fortunate, on the other hand, to have a great...
Yeah, old friend of ours.
I would say a replacement, but it's far from a replacement. A friend of ours who works for the station, who I go back with about 8-9 years, and you go back with probably almost about the same amount of time.
Have I known you longer than he has?
I'd say 8-9 years.
So it's about the same amount of time.
Let me introduce you. It's Swami Varadhan, who's a longtime friend of the show and the station, works here with us at Bali. Swami's specialty, and believe me, I know all about it, is he's a meditation expert. He's a person who sees things in a whole different way than you or I, is able to piece things together, is able to really focus on the inner self and balance and intentions. How would you describe yourself? I know Urban Turban is always your brand, but how would you describe what you do?
I'm just a mindfulness teacher.
That's it?
And a peacemaker.
That's what you call it?
Yeah.
Mindfulness teacher.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
I bring the mind to its fullest capability and capacity.
Well, have you ever worked on Greg?
I'm trying to work on Greg.
Okay. He's been doing it for months, Larry. One thing that I walked in. I left the studio right before we started recording, and I left the two of these guys, Larry and Swami, here to chat. And I came back in, and Swami had his arms above his head as if he were choking, which my grandmother used to say, put your arms up and look up. And I'm like, why? Like, what is that doing for me when I choke? But he had his hands up over his head like he's celebrating and was doing these really rapid-fire breaths, like which is a meditation.
Right. Well, 3 minutes called Breath of Fire is from Kundalini Yoga.
I don't know how you didn't pass out. I would have passed out.
I almost passed out watching
it. Well, you know, it takes effort.
Practice.
It takes practice.
Yeah.
It really works the subconscious mind. And if you're not familiar with the mindset, is 95% of your mind is the subconscious. 5% is the conscious. And that 95%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Out of that 95%, about 100%, or I'd say 98 to 100%, is created from the age you were born to the age of 10. So everything you see, everything you hear, everything that's around you, it goes into the subconscious. Almost like, I would say, you uploading music to your music library or music catalog.
So let me ask you then. You're saying that most of that subconscious is developed up through the age of 10, so I'm not really retaining as much of my subconscious mind now?
You're reacting... from your subconscious mind.
Oh, I am.
So it's almost like you're uploading all these songs and you're just playing play over and over again.
Hmm.
The conscious is the play button. The subconscious is the songs.
Hmm.
The reason we have such a hard time changing, it's not so much that we don't want to change or we can't change, is that deep inside our mindset, we have all these thoughts. Remember, every day you have about 60 to 90,000 thoughts. And all those 60,000, 90 thoughts per day, 95% of them are the same thoughts from the day before, from the day before, from the day before, from the day before.
Wow. See, this is what I mean about this, right? I consider myself, I'm a very thoughtful person. I always am thinking. I'm an overthinker at times, right? I see that face, Larry. Don't do it. I'm an overthinker at times. I always contemplate things and how things work and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me how you say 60 to 90,000 thoughts a day. Yeah. I feel like I have, I thought I was high on that spectrum and thought maybe it's 25,000 thoughts a day, but that's incredible. So your mind is constantly going. How do you shut it down? How do you feel it's best for the average person whose lives are crazy? We're all crazy. Our lives are insane these days. Yeah, everybody. How do you shut it down?
Well,
how do you get away from
it? Meditate.
Okay.
I meditate 20 minutes a day, and I do this breath of fire. So when I just sit down, the breath of fire, the deep breathing in and out for 3 minutes, it goes into your subconscious.
Okay.
And it just sort of cleans it out. It's almost like a bowl, and you have a dirty bowl. It's almost like cleaning out the bowl, right? Okay. But the next day you might have it dirty again. You got to clean it out again. When meditation, and it really is, the breath of fire is really like, how do I say this? It's almost like your Google Maps.
Okay.
It really works for your intuition. And it shows you where to go. The meditation and 20 minutes of just breathing and observing your breath is what happens when you're on the highway when there's traffic. The breath of fire, it shows you where to go, the intuition. The meditation works with the calmness. Mm. And that really helps me out with the stress or the anxiety or, you know, all these thoughts. You're going to have the thoughts no matter what. So if 95% of them are from the day before or from the day before and from the day before, that means you probably have been having the same thoughts since you were a kid, right?
But so, they just change with, I guess, like the one, like you pick up new things as you go.
Right.
Because I don't think I think about the same things. If I thought about the same things I thought about as a kid, I'd be in deep trouble.
But we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the root level.
Right.
You know, it's like a tree. All these thoughts are like a tree. They're at the root. They're at the bottom level.
Right.
And so it should, the tree's growing with these thoughts in it.
Right.
So you have different branches. Right. Huh. And those are like also different thoughts. But the main level of thought process at the bottom is the subconscious. Hmm. So what I do with the meditation is, the meditation is not a reaction. It's a reflection. You're observing the thoughts rather than reacting to the thoughts.
So you're just sort of taking a moment to sort of walk around in your mind, walk around the thoughts and acknowledge them and figure out what they are and put them in their place?
Let's use the music library as an example. You have 10 songs uploaded to the music library.
Uh-huh.
And those are 10, and those songs are your subconscious, 95% of them. You're pressing play on each song.
Mm-hmm.
Each song of those, I say you don't like half of them, but they were put in there when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the same negative songs,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're so used to listening to them, you just sort of, you're dealing with it. Even though you don't love them, you're dealing with it. Okay. You don't know what else is new out there because you haven't played any new songs, because you're playing the same songs. What meditation does is you'll hear song one and say song one's about divorce or song one's about, you know, anxiety or stress. You say, I don't like this song. You observe. You go, I don't like this song. Mm. That's what meditation does. Rather than reacting, getting angry and having all these crazy thoughts again and then playing the next song, reacting, you observe. And what the breath of fire does is you're able to take that song out and replace it with a new song.
Okay. Now, Larry, do you meditate?
No.
Have you ever meditated?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Well, then,
not on purpose. No.
Because I've done it a few times. I've had many times. I always rest in peace. The late Deepak, Master Deepak, had a while ago talked to me about how the importance of doing it, because he saw at the time I was stressed.
Yep.
And work stuff, and he would like kind of give me these tips, and then obviously reconnecting with Swami and talking about the importance of self-reflection, meditation, reevaluating yourself. I think I don't do it enough. I don't set a time aside to do it, but I've tried more than ever to become more conscious of that part of it, and slowing down and silence and just being alone with thoughts and quiet. And not being on the phone, not being watching TV, not listening to music. Yeah. It's hard because like we're so used to distractions and noise. When there is silence, you feel like almost like you feel lonely. You feel like you're like in a hole or something, like with no one around you. But I do think it's the one thing that you can do to really, everybody's stressed these days. Everybody.
Right.
I think that's the one thing you can really do that does take the stress level down. And with repeated meditations over time and building it into your day, I'm sure it's probably the most effective form of stress reduction.
Well, I mean, once you keep doing it, I'll tell you what it's like. It's almost like I tell people, if it's pouring rain outside, meditation is your umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be pouring
rain.
Good point. It's still going to rain. There's going to still be going to be days of hardships, but you're not going to get soaked. You'll be able to go back in and, you know, walk throughout the day. If you don't have an umbrella, you could be soaked. Mm-hmm. And you could go in, clothes are soaked, change, come out, you don't have an umbrella again, you'll get soaked again.
Right. Right?
These thoughts are the same thoughts, but you're going to do it over and over and over and over and over again. Meditation is a deep dive into the mindset and the soul and the spirit. And what I mean by that is, when I say reflection rather than reaction, is when something happens to you,
yeah,
oftentimes we react. Old triggers. And what a trigger is a thought process from the past that we still haven't, a lesson we haven't overcome yet.
Yeah.
So what meditation is a reflection. You reflect, okay, why am I feeling this way? And you got to go dig deeper inside. Why am I feeling this way? Okay, if you look at what's happening in society, if you look at the economy crashing about 10 years ago, people live beyond their means for a reason, because of their insecurity. And because truthfully, they want to live a life of lavish when their whole life is full of lavish internally. They can be at peace within themselves.
Right.
And so many people, including me, are not truthful about what we want or how to get to what we want.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is being at peace to you the same thing or close to, what do they call it, being content? Are they close? I mean, I never really thought.
No, for me, being at peace is being facing the truth.
Okay.
You know, and I'm never complete. I guess, I mean, to a certain degree, I'm content. But I think it's always facing the truth and figuring out, is the truth real? Or is it, or are we lying to ourselves?
So in order to do that, though, you have to put a name on what is maybe traumatizing you or something like that. I mean, you have to find out what it is and then you can address it.
Exactly.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be as intense as a trauma.
Right.
But there are triggers that have affected all of us from childhood and adulthood. You know, if you have kids, there are triggers that, if you're a father, you might have triggers from your father and the way you were raised.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I'm in the men's group in the middle of the week. And we were talking about that. And at the end of this program this morning, they had questions for us guys. And one of them was, did you have wounds from your father?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I really did. So, and they say, until you can name it, you can't really heal from it, you know, if you have past wounds, and in this particular situation anyway. Because then you can go back and start to deal with it. And I've done that, not in this particular instance, but with relationships. And Greg knows this. We've talked about it many times. After I got divorced, I would say I was traumatized.
Yeah.
Because it was really bad, and I didn't really realize how bad until I got into a relationship after that, years after that. And I said, I'm not relationship material here.
Right.
And I have to find out why. Thank God I did. It took me about 2 years, but I had to go deep. And that hurts. I mean, guys typically don't like doing that.
We just spoke of that not long ago, Larry, that like we tend, most guys try to, you know, I guess ignore getting in touch with their feelings, right? And being almost, I don't want to say an open book, or like being sensitive or vulnerable.
I'd say both, sensitive and
vulnerable. A lot of men are built that way. Like, I need to be a man, I need to do this. But I will tell you, when you do get into yourself like that, it's eye-opening. You learn a lot about who you are. And I don't think you can really be successful in any relationship if you're not able to identify your shortcomings and try and fix them and see who you really are. And I think that's something I always wonder with these things, Swami, because with when it comes to meditation and it comes to evolving as a person, everybody has a different definition, right? Everybody has a different belief as to how to get there.
Right.
But this is a pretty tried and true method to find who you are and what you need to do for yourself, and almost like you said, coming to peace with it. It works, right? Like most people, if they do it, this is going to work if they put the right time and effort into it.
You know, scientifically, it's proven that it does work. Mm-hmm. But I also, I have like a life coach therapist I've been seeing that helps talking about my problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think diet works, exercise works, a lot of things sort of work as well. The great thing with meditation is it's only 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing is it attacks the subconscious in what we're talking about. And that's why you and I, we just talk about vulnerability, right? It's hard to be vulnerable because when you get to your vulnerability, that's the greatest value you could give yourself. Mm. It's the greatest compassion is vulnerability. Because when you're not vulnerable, you're chaotic, right? So, but getting there is tough because we're so used to not getting there. As men, we spend how many years, 30, 40 years, and then one day we wake up and we go, you know what? Maybe we don't know who we are and we don't know really what we want, even though we thought we knew what we wanted.
Yeah. You say 20, 25, how long a meditation should 20. Be? It has to be 20 minutes?
Well, it could be an hour. I mean, it could be...
Can you do 5 minutes?
You can do 5 minutes. I mean, I invite anyone to just start with even 2 minutes.
Because we talk about it all the time. It's like you have to find the time. Everybody's busy, right? I know that was always my excuse. When am I going to have the time to do that? It's like going to the gym. I don't have time to go to the gym. It's like you don't have time to make yourself healthy. Mm-hmm. You don't have time to make yourself live longer. But... You have to find the time.
Well, it's hard. And I'll tell you why self-reflection is hard. Because you don't get acknowledgement for self-reflection in the beginning. And you don't get acknowledgement from yourself and from someone else.
Yeah.
That's why it's very, very difficult. I could walk around. In this society, you're acknowledged for external attributes.
Yeah.
Money, success, looks, what have you. So for many years, I've been talking about meditation for 10 years.
Yeah.
And... people thought I was a weirdo, like, you know, going to a meditation retreat for 10 days, not talking. And now people are realizing, wait a second, you can make money on meditation. People are, you know, there's celebrities talking about meditation. So now there's, and you know, people are going through a lot of stress and anxiety. So they're realizing now that, wait, maybe there's a benefit. That's a hard thing with meditation. That's a hard thing with self-help because there's no acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. You can do self-help for 2 years and you still might not get an external acknowledgement. It's all internal.
Yeah, and you almost have to be okay with that.
And you're used to external, right? As human beings, we're used to, we could buy a shirt, someone will acknowledge it, get a haircut,
you want validation,
someone acknowledge
right?
it. Yeah. And there's no external validation. It's internal validation. Soon it'll be external. After many years, I'm on this radio show after 9 years of meditating, right? But for 9 years, I was on a radio show.
That brings me to a point. Acknowledgement, right? We've spoken about this off air. Everybody wants to be acknowledged. Everybody, no one wants to be invisible, right? Like when you're talking, if you have a voice and you say something and somebody's listening, it feels good. But if that person mid-sentence as you're speaking decides to talk to somebody else, turn around and say something that they think is more important, you feel a little bit shunned and you feel a little disappointed that what I was saying wasn't important. How important is acknowledgement? Or is it okay to just be at peace with yourself and not expect the acknowledgement and validation from other people?
Well, expectations are, it's an absolute bummer when you expect things. Mm-hmm. You know, expectations could really destroy you. I think acceptance is the key. I think when expectations are the main thing, then you have no acceptance. If you accept what's happening right now, then you don't need the expectations of some end goal or end attribute. But I think acknowledgements, I think it's the key, man. I mean, I really do. I think, and you know, I have spoken about it to a greater extent. I think acknowledgement is something that people desperately desire and desperately at times need. It's fascinating, though, but because most people desire acknowledgement and need acknowledgement from everyone else on this planet except themselves.
Right.
And that's what meditation really does, is acknowledging yourself.
And
maybe that word content you said, being content with yourself and realizing that you don't need everyone's acknowledgement. And I've seen it happen before. I mean, you probably too, Larry. It's like we've seen people and we know people where they're so used to being acknowledged for what they do. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, relationships, career, that they become complacent.
In a way of almost getting comfortable enough where they don't challenge themselves, they just allow themselves to become.
And it's happened to me too in different areas, right? You have a job and you sort of get acknowledged for doing a good job, and maybe not a fantastic job, but a good job, and you get complacent because you just get that acknowledgement every day.
Do you, Larry, do you find yourself needing what's the word I'm looking for? Acknowledgement / validation. Are you a type of person that it needs that?
Validation, yeah, that's the other thing. No, not usually. I used to. But then I thought, you know, I had certain God-given talents and gifts and things, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to use some of them in the work that I do. Mm-hmm. And that actually in itself is kind of like validating to me
mm-hmm.
what I'm good at doing.
Right.
The other thing is, and I was just thinking about this when Swami was just talking, when you talk about acknowledgement, if, for instance, a guy were to journal his progress from day to day, and you would go back in your life and look at that, I'm assuming that most people progress. And is that a form of, like, acknowledging? Because you can look at that and say, yeah, I made the grade. You know, I'm improving in some way.
Totally. By the way, great question.
Yeah.
I just want to give you validation.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, he's not usually good with those questions.
I'm not.
Great question.
No, not good at all.
He's going to start meditating now because you said that. I think Greg and I talk about something, and I talked to Greg about this a couple of times, about first I journal. I've been journaling every day for about, I'd say since I was like a teenager or high school.
I've never done it.
And I never realized I did it. I mean, I had no idea I was doing it. It's, you know, it's, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then one day I'm like, wait, why do I have all these journals? I mean, they had like stacks of journals.
That is so cool.
And you didn't even realize you were doing it?
Well, no. When I went on a 10-day meditation retreat,
uh-huh.
in 10 days I did a Vipassana meditation. Vipassana was created by the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Buddha passed away, it was resurrected by an Indian doctor called Goenka,
okay.
or a businessman called Goenka. And Goenka, he passed away last year, but Goenka had major migraines. And he went to doctors, no one could figure it out. And someone said, why don't you try Vipassana meditation? It's a breathing technique. And he did it, and he got cured of migraines. So he said he's going to open up free Vipassana meditation campuses around the world. And he has. And you go for 10 days, no talking, no reading, no writing. No journaling, no TV, no phones, nothing. You meditate like, you know, a few hours a day, and then you sit in silence. You can't talk to anyone else.
Can't even write.
No, nothing. But, and you're observing your mindset the whole time. But when I left there, the first thing I thought about was, I'm like, oh, I really miss writing. And I was never a writer. I never even thought I could write. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a great writer. I didn't do well like in English classes.
Right.
But I realized, like, oh, wait, maybe I do love journaling. Because I thought I would miss radio. I was in radio, right? I thought I would miss digital media. I thought I would miss entertainment, but it was really the writing aspect.
It's interesting how that works, right? Because like I really think when you write and get things off your chest, you do feel lighter. You feel
It's like talking to somebody in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Sharing. And I think like we both of you guys, I could say individually, we speak very candidly and personally and have deep conversations, right? And usually when you step away from a conversation like that, you feel good. You feel much better than you did going in. Let's say you have troubles in your mind and you're having some hard times in your life, and you talk to somebody who really understands or listens, and then you have this like flowing conversation. It makes you feel better about things almost immediately. It does give you this sort of sense of like, wait, maybe this is normal. Everybody goes through this. This is life. This is part of my grand design. All these bad things I'm going through are happening for a reason to make me better in whatever's coming next. You don't feel that going into the chat, but after the chat. I think that's why, whether even it's writing it down, it almost is like you're letting it go.
Well, I tell Greg something. I say, connect the dots. And what I mean by connect the dots is if you're having a tough time, you connect the dots. You look back in your life and you look at the experiences you've had, and the dots will connect. You will say, oh, wait, I had this. First of all, I don't believe in rejections. I believe in redirections. So I don't believe, you know, the universe is rejecting you. They're just redirecting you. Not what you could get for yourself. It's what you could give others and serve other people. If you look at jobs or you look at different places you've been in, you will realize that you didn't get a job, not because you weren't talented, but there's someone in a new job, a new position,
right,
in a new company that you had a companionship with, and you're able to give that person compassion, a friend, or a new skill you could use to help other people out.
You said connect the dots. That's really bizarre, because that's exactly what they said this morning.
Oh, really?
In this group that I'm going to. Yeah. What's I know there's more than one meaning for epiphany, but I mean, generalizing in our society, when somebody says, I just had an epiphany,
like,
generally, is it like a light came on?
Yeah, all of a sudden you realize something that just hit you out of the blue. It's like the sky opened up and all of a sudden the answers were there for you, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's almost like when the subconscious becomes the conscious.
When you were talking about connecting the dots,
yeah,
because it was just affirmed this morning, or you affirmed it,
yeah.
You know, being here with you right now just affirmed that to me. So that's
really, when that's, we call that synchronicity.
Connecting the dots on me once before. like
Swami
couple,
was
like about a month ago. He said something like, "Just connect the dots, dude." And I remember being like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You're all the things you're saying. Like, just piece all these things together, and you'll have your answer." And I was like, "Oh, wow, okay." It was almost like it hit me out of the blue, not because I did it on my own, but somebody telling me, "Put the pieces together, dude. It's all there for you. You've said it all. It's all there." I thought it was some big epiphany, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it was very simple. I wasn't sort of like this. I was like, "Dude, just connect the dots.
Yeah,
what's the big deal, dude?"
Yeah.
Connect your own dots.
But that's true, because if you connect the dots, I think that's also one reason why we have a hard time with forgiveness as well, because we don't connect the dots. Because I have a hard time with forgiveness because I used to hold grudges. And that's
something. You're a grudge holder, and I can't
believe
that.
Huge grudge holder.
I can't either.
A huge,
it doesn't seem like that.
Huge grudge holder.
Really?
Used to. I mean, now I'm really, I'll say this. Every sort of spiritual teacher, meditation teacher is like, we're still working on ourselves. So we don't have it all together, which is why we're teachers, because we're still learning from, when I talk to Greg, I learn so much. When I talk to you, I learn so much. When I talk to anyone else, when they come up to me for coaching, I learn so much from them as well.
Yeah.
For me, grudges were very hard. I mean, for me, I was never very straightforward with people. You know, I didn't just say, I'm not Jersey or from Long Island. I'm not from the East Coast where you just tell people off.
Get direct.
Yeah, just get really direct. I don't like this, all right?
I don't like your beard.
No, I don't like it.
It looks stupid.
Yeah. You are not in your face.
Yeah, I'll get John Gotti, okay?
California is passive aggressive. It's like, do you like that beard? Instead of being like, I don't like that beard, it's like, do you like your own beard?
Yeah.
Right? That's the California
way. And when you say no, and someone says no, you're like, okay. And then you ask the next person, what do you think about the beard?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You like the beard. Okay, great. I'm going to keep the beard.
Yeah.
But I think for me, grudges were, I had a hard time being very straightforward, facing the truth, right? I wouldn't say anything to the person because, you know, my confidence level wasn't at the high level. I didn't know who I was. I mean, meditation has helped me out. I'm really working on forgiveness and not holding a grudge now and being very straightforward, and Greg knows this. But I would say something about, we're talking about connecting the dots. If you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, and I'm talking about most times. I'm not talking about like...
Forgetting meaning moving on?
Forgiving.
Forgiving, okay.
I'm not talking about like devastating experiences like rape or molestation or, you know, whatever. I'm talking about everyday life. Some people have a hard time
forgiving. Somebody hurt your feelings.
Someone hurt your feelings, a relationship. I think when I look back in my life, the reason I have a hard time forgiving is when I'm not excited or proud of myself about the present. So I connect the dots. So if someone says something to me like, I didn't get a job, let's say I didn't get a job somewhere. What I advise everyone to do is, if you're doing great at work, you're not going to be, it's very easy to forgive someone who rejected you.
Right.
If you're in love, madly in love, it's a lot easier to forgive the boyfriend or girlfriend who broke up with you.
Because you just want to get back together.
Because you're like, screw it. I'm happy. Right. I got it. But if you connect the dots and you connect the experiences you've had since that moment, and you realize, wait a second, this person broke up with me, or this job didn't work out, or this house didn't work out. But if I connect the dots and experiences create your emotions. And these emotions create energy in your life. And they're high or low, right? They're back and forth. I think forgiveness is a little easier because I don't think we're really angry at the person. We're angry because the person says something to us and we're not the place that we want to be at.
And you hear something you don't want to hear, but sometimes when you think about it, that person might have been right, because you need to self-reflect and figure out, maybe I'm not optimal.
Yeah.
The key, I think, we only have about 2 minutes left, so I don't want to, want to say, like, I think what I come out of this with is that, like, we're constantly evolving and we constantly do have to check ourselves and ask ourselves, am I the best I can be? Am I doing the best I can? Because most times we're not. We tell ourselves we are, but I think we have to constantly reevaluate ourselves and what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and how I can be better. How can I be a better person? What do you come out of this with, Larry?
Well, I mean, I was just sitting here thinking with the three of us, you know, how I'm just really blown away with you guys. Because when I met both of you, and it's been about the same length of time, I knew that you guys were just great. I mean, I used to brag about you both. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But because I just I loved you right off the bat, so I got that out of it at least. I love you guys, and it's really cool, Swami, that you're back in our orbit.
Again. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I was never away from your orbit.
Well, it seemed like I didn't see your face.
Well, you don't have to see it in my face.
I know. I will tell you, I agree with you though. It's like I feel like there's certain people that come along in life, and they're in your life for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you may drift, and you may go into different places, but they're still with you.
Yeah.
I do agree with you though. I think it's a powerful thing, and certain relationships. But I also think it's important on this show, especially, every now and then, to step back and realize, like, again, how do we help ourselves? How do we help not only just ourselves, but by helping ourselves, we're helping the people around
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely, right? We are. Yeah.
What are your last thoughts?
Well, I would say, just, you know, anyone that's listening, I would say, really, to face the truth. The older I get, the more I realize, but you just face the truth and sit with the truth for a little bit, no matter how difficult it is, mm-hmm. it becomes much more difficult dealing with the truth 5-6 years later. You know, it becomes much more difficult. Right. You know, and we know this, everything, right? Relationships, finance, work-wise. There are things we do not want to face.
That's right.
And the truth is really the key. And that's what meditation really works with. It really helps you face the truth.
We will have you back on again to kind of go to the next phase of this. This is sort of just like scratching the surface of this topic. But I think it's important. We can, maybe next time we can do a bit of a discussion on what we can do. What are some of the things we can do? I think we all took something away from it today.
Yeah,
what are the things we can do in practice to help ourselves relieve stress and improve our lives? Way late on time. Larry, thank you as always.
Great being here.
Swami.
Thank you, Greg and Larry. Guest.
Absolutely.
It was so good to have you. We'll do this again. It was a very quality conversation. I hope our listeners enjoyed it.
I'm sure.
We'll be back next week again. Another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.